So I've been doing a sermon series called Hard to Hear Sermons, and there's a lot of topics in the Bible that society does not want to hear messages about because it basically rebukes their lifestyle. It basically brings a lot of shame on them for the sin that they're involved in. And so, you know, when we talk about things that are found in the Bible, you know, all things are given for, you know, our profit, for our betterment, to basically help us. But, you know, this particular topic is something that's not popular amongst the world. It's not something that the world would want to hear or would like. And so there's been a lot of bad preaching and a lot of bad teaching on this topic. In fact, I've always pretty much believed this. I got a little screwed up when I was young as far as, like, doctrinally on this issue. But then once I realized what the Bible said, it was hard to find preachers that would preach this. But the title of my sermon this morning is this: Drugs and Alcohol Addiction. Drug and alcohol addiction. And we want to see what the Bible has to say on this particular subject. But I have 3 points this morning on drug and alcohol addiction. And the first point of why you want to avoid these particular substances is because you're going to experience a lot of pain. Pain is related to drug and alcohol. Now, in Proverbs 23, look what it says in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? So the Bible says there's a group of people that they experience pain for no particular purpose. That's what wounds without cause means. Without cause meaning that they didn't, you know, have a legitimate reason why they got injured. There is no reason why they should have gotten harmed whatsoever. It's simply that because they're so inebriated, because they've lost all their good judgment and function and skill, they end up hurting themselves when they shouldn't have, or it wouldn't have been necessary, or it wouldn't even been possible. Simply just normal tasks, like walking up a flight of stairs, or holding open a door, or just any everyday normal task, driving a car. Things that shouldn't necessarily result in injury are going to often result in injury when you're under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Now, when it comes to this topic, I'm going to mostly focus on alcohol because the Bible brings it up all the time. But the same concepts apply to all substances when they alter your mind. They're essentially affecting your behavior. And the Bible says that these people have a terrible life. I mean, who wants woe? Woe is just depression, sadness. It says sorrow. It's another synonym here. Essentially, this person is just going through and having a bad life, all kinds of problems, contentions, just fighting, babbling, saying stupid things, wounds without cause, also redness of eyes. This doesn't sound like a fun life. This sounds like pain in every possible way. Not just physical pain, mental pain. Not just mental pain, shame, embarrassment, guilt, depression, all manner of all kinds of evil. And essentially, it's just going to cause all kinds of struggle in your life. There's no point in essentially prescribing yourself pain that you don't need. Who wants more sorrow? Who wants more depression? Who wants more physical pain? You know, people that are in physical pain will spend all of their money to get out of that physical pain. I mean, people are constantly going to the doctor, getting painkillers, getting drugs, basically to try and turn off pain. Why would you then go ahead and ask for the pain? Why would you want to increase the pain in your life? But when it comes to this particular problem, unfortunately, America has a large problem here. It's prevalent in America. In fact, according to a 2019 national survey on drug use and health, it said 85.6% of people 18 or older reported that they drank alcohol at some point in their lifetime. Almost 86% of people just admit that they've had alcohol at least one time in their life. It's probably higher. This is just the amount of people that actually admit that they've had some at some point in their life. Of that group, or not of that group, just in general, 70%, almost 70% report that they drank in the last year. So now we're kind of dialing in to see, okay, 86% claim they've had at least once in their life. About 70% said they had it this last year. And then it says 54.9% or almost 55% say they drank in the last month. Okay. So almost half, or actually more than half, of America is drinking alcohol at least once a month. I mean, this is a pretty regular thing. Almost every business that sells drinks sells liquor, sells alcohol, sells some kind of a beer, wine. In fact, we got a lovely new store over here. It's some liquor store right over here. And in fact, I actually asked them if we could lease their space. They said no churches. They just want booze. You know, they just want alcohol in the city of Hearst. You know, that's a business that people would get excited about. That's a business that people would praise, but not a local New Testament church today. That just shows you what kind of society we're living in when people prefer literal alcohol, literal spirits over the Holy Spirit. Not only that, alcohol contributes to about 18.5% of all emergency department visits. So when you talk about people going to the hospital or going to one of these ER centers or going where there's an emergency department, almost 20% is just specifically related to alcohol, just alcohol. We're not even talking about other drugs or other kind of incidents. I mean, that's a really big problem. But not even that, 22% of all overdose deaths in the United States are specifically due to prescription opioids. Prescription. You know, we like to think of, you know, drugs. When you hear the word drug, you kind of think of like illegal activity, don't you? You kind of think of some kind of like criminal activity. But the majority of the drug problem in America is legal. It's alcohol, which you can go at every store, every restaurant. I mean, you can go to Walmart, you can go to the CVS, you can go to the gas station. I mean, then you have a liquor store on top. Why do you even need a liquor store on top of that? I mean, why do we have to have so much alcohol just at our fingertips? And then beyond that, prescription drugs, opioids, causing all kinds of death. And so it's you know, we think of the drug dealers as being, you know, this pimp in like a ghetto car with rims or whatever. But really, the drug dealer is the pharmacist at Walmart. The drug dealer is the cashier at 7-Eleven. Would you like a beer? This is a drug dealer just serving alcohol. I mean, just being the waiter or waitress at the restaurant is the drug dealer. Get your elixir. And man, they'll serve you all kinds of cocktails and all kinds of liquor and shots at, you know, Chili's restaurant and bar. It's family friendly. You know, come get wasted at Chili's with, you know, whatever, their margaritas, right? They're real famous for their margaritas. It doesn't matter. You could go to virtually any restaurant, any place. I mean, you can go to Rose's and get beer. I mean, pretty soon McDonald's is going to probably start serving beer. And in fact, whenever we had COVID in the state of Texas, they started legalizing drive-through picking up alcohol because people got to get their fix. You know, that's the most important law. That's the most important legislation we have to get through, you know, the state of Texas. And you know what? Notice whenever they really want a law to get through, I mean, they get through like that. Oh, drinking while driving? Get that one through real quick. Right? But all kinds of other, you know, legislation or important issues with constituents, they seem to be on the docket for years, decades, never really happen, do they? Now, let's keep reading in this passage. Let's get some more Bible here. Who's this group of people that are having all these problems and all this pain? Verse 30, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Now, who loves getting bit by snakes? I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun, right? I mean, let's go join the Pentecostal church where they're going to start dancing with snakes and getting bit by them or whatever. No. This is a horrible thing. In fact, people are gravely terrified of snakes. Have you heard snakes on a plane? You know, I'm just kidding. What if it was snakes in a church service, right? I mean, that would be terrifying. If there was a snake on the ground, I guarantee all the women would start screaming and running around and grabbing their children and being terrified. Yet, do they feel that way about alcohol? Do they get so terrified and nervous about alcohol? Do they care that they put their children around other extended family members? Uncle so-and-so, Grandpa so-and-so, Billy Bob so-and-so, Cousin so-and-so, and they're literally drinking alcohol, possibly even giving it to their children. What's the difference between letting them just play with dangerous animals, play with things that could bite them and sting them and hurt them and harm them. Look, you know what alcohol is going to do? It's going to cause pain. All kinds of pain, all kinds of issue. And the Bible makes it clear in verse 31 that we're talking about a beverage that's been fermented. That's why it says it turned red. That's why it says it's giving its color. That's why it says it's moving itself aright. Because what God created was fruit. And then man takes that fruit and squeezes it and gets the juices from it, and it's a beverage that tastes good. But then what do some people do? They let that beverage sit and rot and rot and rot and rot and ferment and then turn into literal poison, and then they drink that. And then some people be like, oh, this is a gift from God. Look, poison is not a gift for you to drink from God. Okay? Poison is not something that God wants you to drink or has encouraged you to drink or gave you to drink or anything like that. And the same applies with all food groups. You know, I don't let my bread turn green and then start eating it. I don't eat molded food because that would be stupid. But just as stupid as it is to eat molded food would be to drink a beverage that's literally continually rotted and decomposed and fermented and become a dangerous substance. And we think about, what is it when you get bit with a serpent? What is the real danger when it comes to getting bit by a snake? Isn't it the poison that comes from their venom? And what does that poison do? It can kill you. It can harm you. And you know what? It's all kinds of wounds and bruises. The same can happen with alcohol. You drink the alcohol, and then you slam your arm in the car, and you get a huge bruise that you didn't know about. Or you go and kill yourself. It's like the exact same situation. It makes absolutely no sense. What if I said, hey, why don't we all go to the snake pit and go get bit by snakes tonight? You'd be like, you're an idiot. Right. But how is that any different than going down to the bar and getting filled with all kinds of liquor and weird substances that are literally poisoning the insides of my body? And you know what? If you look it up from the CDC, what alcohol does to your body, it destroys every part of your body. It destroys your mouth, your tongue, your teeth, your esophagus, your stomach, your liver, your intestines, your brain. I mean, you just name it, your skin. Every aspect of your entire body is just completely being destroyed because you're force-feeding it poison. And you know what that does? It causes pain. And then you know what happens? It's a self-replicating cycle. Because what alcohol will do oftentimes is it'll deaden pain temporarily. So what people end up doing is they keep hurting themselves by drinking more, trying to deaden the pain, and they just make it worse and worse and worse and worse. And you know what? You don't really get relief from pain unless you're drinking. The pain relief is only while you're drinking. That's why people literally want to drink nonstop. They wake up and they want to get drunk again. And you say, where do you say that? Well, the Bible says it. Look what it says in verse 34. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mass. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So notice this particular individual says, I've had so much alcohol, so much drugs, I'm so inebriated that you could literally punch me and I wouldn't even feel it. I can literally injure myself and I wouldn't even know it. And you know what? That's a dangerous person. A dangerous person is one that feels no pain. It's like a psychopath from a physical perspective, because a psychopath feels no empathy or any kind of emotion, so they can just hurt people and they don't feel anything. But if you can literally not feel pain, you're an extremely dangerous person. That's why cops have to be very careful when they're around a particular individual that's high on drugs or high on some kind of a substance, because they could literally be shot with a gun and not stop attacking. You know, still coming at someone with a knife or some kind of a dangerous weapon. You know, just because someone gets shot with a bullet doesn't mean they're going to stop. You know, especially depending on where you shoot them, how big they are, how aggressive they're being. You know, sometimes it could take many rounds in order to stop a particular individual, you know, if they're dangerous or they're coming at you or they're harming you. And so you have to realize that alcohol, that's not a good thing. Why would I want that? Why would I literally want to be able to just hurt myself and not even realize it? Burn myself. You know, I like the fact that when I touch something hot, it hurts. Because otherwise, I would just burn my hand off. I would just get all the skin. Because, you know, when you touch something really hot, at first you don't maybe necessarily feel it. But then as soon as you remove your hand from that hot substance, then you feel it. I remember ironing, and I'm not very good at ironing, okay? I remember ironing, and just the edge was kind of exposed, and I kind of like gleaned my thumb on it. And at first, it was just so hot, I didn't even like feel it, but I just literally watched the skin just melt away on my thumb, and it was just like gone, and I was just like, and then it started hurting, okay? But what if I just put my whole hand on that or something, you know, not realize, you didn't even realize. You're just putting your hand like this, no pain, it feels like nothing, and then all of a sudden you're just looking at your bones, right? Or you're just bleeding out, or you're just injured everywhere. That's what it's like when you're on these drugs. You can literally get to a point where you're hurting yourself and you can't even notice it. Not only that, so many people literally will die, they'll vomit from all the alcohol that they've drank, and they'll kind of be laying on their back, they'll just vomit all up, and they won't even turn over to breathe. They'll choke on their own vomit. They'll die in their own vomit. Talk about fun. I mean, sign me up. Where can I destroy my entire body, hurt myself, die in my own vomit, look like a complete imbecile and idiot the whole time? No one wants to be around me. You know what's the most annoying person? A person that's drunk. No one that's sober wants to be around someone that's drunk. It's frustrating, it's annoying, it's just pain in every category. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32 for a moment. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Say, I'm uncomfortable. Well, good. You know what's going to be more uncomfortable? Drinking alcohol. And the pain when you wake up in the morning. And notice in the proverb, it said the guy goes and seeks it again. What kind of weird, bizarre behavior to literally be a glutton for punishment? But you know what? That's what alcohol does. It addicts you to where you keep going after it day after day, week after week, month after month, until you kill yourself. That's what it does. That's why it's so dangerous, children. That's why you should never touch the stuff. That's why you should never look at it. Because these people, they don't like it. Notice it started out, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? I mean, this isn't something that's fun. The person doesn't like it. And in fact, many people that drink alcohol, they hate themselves for it. They hate the alcohol. They don't even want it. But you know what? They're just so addicted to it, they can't stop. And talk about ease of use. I mean, it's everywhere. It is literally everywhere. And it's so prevalent. I've worked for companies where our company meetings, they had alcohol just served to everyone at the table. And everyone was drinking. And it was kind of like taboo if you weren't drinking. And I'm thinking like, man. And it wasn't like an optional meeting. Every time my company ever had the option of like, hey, we're having like a booze hour or whatever, I'm like, I'm going to keep working while y'all go booze it up or whatever. But I went to literal company meetings. You have to go to the company meeting. Everyone's drinking. Everyone has a beer, everyone has wine, everyone has alcohol. You go to the big company parties, everybody's drinking, there's alcohol everywhere. It's insane how prevalent alcohol is when it's just a clear fact that it's poison. You just go to the CDC, look up any of these things, poison. It's like, hey, alcohol. Well, you know what? The Bible already told us that. Look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even as our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Look how the Bible ties alcohol to what? Literal venom of snakes again. Because that's just as cool. Drinking venom is as cool as drinking alcohol. I don't recommend either. It's literal poison. And some people say, oh, well, the Bible talks positively about wine. Okay, yeah, it does. But look at verse 32 again very carefully. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom. Meaning what? They have a different wine. There is a godly wine. There is a godly beverage. It's called juice. I love grape. My kids love juice. In fact, whenever we have a meal, if we give them a juice before they start eating, they'll drink the entire juice before they even get one bite of food. I mean, they love juice. Juice tastes great. I love orange juice. I love apple juice. I love grape juice. I love cranberry juice. I used to be addicted to this cranberry raspberry juice. I mean, that stuff is good, okay? The problem with juice is that it's a lot of calories, okay? But you know what? I love juice. Juice tastes great. There's nothing wrong with juice. And you know what? That's what the Bible often refers to when it talks about wine. Because I'm sorry, but most everyone in this room drinks things other than water. Who in here only has drinking water this year? That's the only beverage you've had. Nobody raised their hand. Okay? We have to realize back in the olden times, they didn't have a soda fountain at every single, you know, restaurant for them. They didn't have all the juice and all the milk and all the other extra stuff that you could drink just for free. So whenever they got juice, it was awesome. They were like, sweet. Today, we just drink it like it's nothing. We have all kinds of Cokes and sodas and fruit beverages and flavored waters and just all kinds of beverages like this just at our disposal. So we kind of forget about how great that is. You know, throughout history, most people don't just have all this luxury of infinite amounts of soda and juice and all these great beverages. So when they finally get one, it's great. When they finally get to have that soda or they get to have that cocktail, you know, that's not alcoholic, but it's actually, you know, just basically a juice beverage. It's great. Don't get this perverted, stupid mind that America has twisted in your brain and think that, oh, alcohol poison is literally great. No, Welch's is great. No, apple juice is great. No, orange juice is great. And look, that stuff is just as expensive anyways, okay? Orange juice is like, what, $5 a glass with no refills at the restaurant? You're just like, come on. It's like, what is this stuff? You know, I mean, the beer might be cheaper. But at the end of the day, you know, wine is a blessing. But you know what? Not this wine. This wine is poison. And you know what? I don't want to drink poison. You shouldn't drink poison. Go to Isaiah chapter number 5. Go to Isaiah chapter number 5. Let me give you some more stats real quick on alcohol and drug abuse in America. 19.7 million American adults battled a substance use disorder in 2017. We're talking about a lot of people. 74% of adults suffering from a substance use disorder in 2017 struggled with an alcohol use disorder. So of the approximately 20 million people struggling with drugs and alcohol in America, almost 75% of that is just specifically alcohol. So, you know, when we think of the word drug, again, when I went to school, when I heard the word drug, I'm thinking like heroin, LSD, I'm thinking like the hard stuff, okay? You know what's the biggest drug problem? Just alcohol. It's the biggest one. 38% of adults in 2017 battled an illicit drug use disorder. That's a lot too. One out of every 8 adults struggle with both alcohol and drug use disorders simultaneously. So also, some portion of these people that struggle with alcohol struggle with both. They have alcohol and drug problems all at the same time. 8.5 million American adults suffered from both a mental health disorder and a substance use disorder or co-occurring disorders. That is a lot of people. Drug abuse and addiction cost American society more than $740 billion annually in workplace lost productivity. Let me read that again. Drug abuse and addiction cost American society more than $740 billion annually and lost workplace productivity. So just not doing good at the job, just some kind of issue related on the job, $740 billion are lost in America because we're just drunk. Because we're just so consumed with alcohol, it's just a waste of money. We're literally poisoning ourselves, injuring ourselves, and paying billions to do it. This is insanity. What normal, rational person would hurt themselves and pay to do it? Called alcohol. Not only that, you have all kinds of other drugs, like marijuana, becoming legal in states, becoming legal in certain areas. According to one statistic, it said 48.2 million people in America had smoked pot at least once in 2019. That's 18% of the population. In Oklahoma, it's probably like 90. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, if you're from Oklahoma. But it seems really high there. Okay, why? Because it's legal there. And again, when did the Bible say, hey, drink poison when it's legal? Who cares if it's legal or not? That makes no difference to me. That does not impact me whatsoever. And you know what? It should, in your mind, trigger a response. Hey, when I'm going to the pharmacist down there and he's giving me these drugs, maybe I should figure out what's in them rather than the fact that it's legal. What's the legal amount? Here's a better question. What is this going to do to me? Is this poison? Is this harmful? What is the point of this? Not only just marijuana and alcohol, how about heroin? From 2004 to about 2013, there was a 100% increase in heroin among females in America and 50% amongst males. Not only that, there was a 286% increase in heroin-related overdose deaths. More and more people dying. In 2020, 13,165 people died from just heroin overdose. This isn't saying like they did heroin and then got in an accident. This is just like they literally just took the drug and just died. Just 13,000 people just died. And let me tell you this. No one's like, you know what, heroin sounds cool today. People are not just like, you know what, I think I'm gonna try a little heroin today. I don't feel like I've been living it up enough. What they end up doing is they get on so much drugs, like alcohol, it doesn't do it for them. Marijuana, it doesn't do it for them, but they still want that high. And then someone's like, hey, have you ever tried this? You can get that high. And they're like, I'm desperate for the high. Let me just try it. And then they try it and just die. They try it and they become an addict. And look, if you think alcohol is addicting, heroin's going to be way worse, infinitely worse. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people will literally, you know, scratch at themselves and itch at themselves. Their whole body will just start to itch because they don't have the heroin. They'll literally sell their body to be abused just to get that next high. I mean, this is where you get the literal crack whores. This is where you get the literal heroin addicts that are just up and down the sidewalks of California and Seattle and all these different places. And they're just, I mean, you could watch. They literally just have like dozens and dozens of people. They're just sitting there just like, you know, just, they're not even on drugs. That's just the after effect. That's the fact that they're not on the drugs. They're just like, you think it's funny? It's not funny. You come with me to the addiction and homeless recovery area where there's hundreds of people that all look like that, and they say, I hate myself, I hate my life, I can't stop. What are you going to do for that person? And you know what? There's no recourse for all these drug dealers. There's no recourse for the people that are selling this stuff. These people, there's no, it's just completely destroying lives. And you know where it started? It probably started when they were a little kid and some stupid adult gave them alcohol. Some stupid loser that has nothing to live for that basically just gives poison to children. And you know what? If you give alcohol to a child, you are a wicked person. What kind of wicked, evil people? Oh, it's cool. Let's give alcohol to little kids and see what happens. You know what? God is going to bring a lot of consequences on you when you do such foolish nonsense and hurt people like that. Over 600,000 people are addicted to heroin. And when I looked at statistics, it says if you drink alcohol, you're twice as likely to get addicted to heroin. Congratulations. You're way more likely. If you do marijuana, you're 3 times more likely to get addicted to heroin. If you do cocaine, 15 times more likely. Now, here's the worst. If you do prescription opioids, you're 40 times more likely to get addicted to heroin, literally. Now, you would think like, oh, I don't drink alcohol, but I do take my prescription opioids. That's way worse. I mean, and look, the guy that's selling the RX opioids is going to go to his $1 million house over here and sleep like a baby and not feel bad at all. And you know what? We're going to try and clean up the streets, you know, and get drugs off the streets. How about we get the prescription opioids kicked back a little bit? Since people are literally getting addicted to heroin. From the CDC, there's 100,000 drug overdose deaths in the United States in 2021. An increase of 28.5%. Why do we keep increasing? And drugs. Who has sorrow? Who has, it's because nobody's preaching the Bible. Because nobody's warning people of this. Where do you even hear the stuff about this anymore? Go to Proverbs 31. Go to Proverbs 31. You know, when I was a kid in school, we had all kinds of drug programs. DARE. the DARE program. And we'd have to write essays. I wasn't even a good writer. I wasn't very good at, you know, linguistic skills. But in third grade, I won the DARE essay, you know? And I was like the top person in my grade as far as like, you know, at least my school or whatever, my DARE essay. And I read it. It's not very good literature. But I was really against it. And praise the Lord, at least in eighth grade, I said, hey, drugs are bad. Nobody wants this stuff. You know, there used to be groups called MAD. Who knows what I'm talking about? MAD. Mothers Against Drunk Driving. There used to be a bunch of moms that were mad about people drinking alcohol. Now they're drinking wine with dinner. Now they're getting the cocktail. Now they're getting drunk instead of actually being mad about it. But you know what? We need more moms to get mad about drinking. Look at Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now let me help you. This is literally the words from a woman. This is not, you know, I know that you're like, oh, you're so misogynistic or whatever. Look, this is hard preaching that we're about to get from a woman, okay? Verse 2. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Here's the second reason why you don't drink alcohol, because then you'll become a pervert. Not only will you feel pain, you're going to become a pervert. You're going to pervert all of your judgment in every single way. And the Bible is literally saying the people in positions of power should never drink wine, strong drink, liquor, alcohol, beer. They should never be under the influence of any of these substances because they'll have perverted judgment. And notice this mother is saying, don't drink. You're going to say stupid things. You're going to have bad judgments. You're going to forget the Bible. Verse 6, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Saying like, hey, you want to die? Get bit by a snake. Right? She's not saying this is a good suggestion. Hey, you want to die? Drink poison. Now, if someone told you that, would you say like, well, that's a pretty cool recommendation? Look, this is not a recommendation. This is not a suggestion. It's in jest. It's saying, look, the only reason you want to drink poison is if you want to die. The only reason is your heart's about to explode with sorrow, so you might as well just drink something to numb it, whatever. But it's not saying this is a recommendation. It's just saying, hey, the guy that literally has no reason to live, his life is just so horrible, he's at the derelict in the gutter, let that guy drink alcohol and destroy himself. But it's not saying do that. Okay, it's just saying this is obviously, you know, a sarcasm. I don't know if you've ever met the Bible, but it has a lot of sarcasm in it, okay? Verse 7, let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. You know what? You're not a drunk derelict in the gutter. So even if you said, well, I think this is a recommendation. Well, wait until you're a drunk, when you have nothing to live for, no family, no money, no life, all pain, all sorrow, you're in the gutter and you're about to die. Okay, then maybe you go, let's drink alcohol. But you know what? That's not you, because you're sitting in church this morning and you have people that care about you. And you know what? You can go out and you can preach the gospel to people. Notice what it says in the next verse. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. You know who's appointed to destruction? Everybody going to hell. Instead of drinking alcohol, why don't you go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hey, you want to be filled with spirits? Be filled with the Holy Spirit and preach the everlasting gospel. Preach the love of God. Preach a purpose to live. Alcohol doesn't give anybody purpose to live. It just destroys them. And it causes you to be perverted in your thinking, perverted in your mind. It causes you to just basically destroy everything about you. I don't like people that, you know, I don't want to be around people that are drinking alcohol all the time and getting drunk all the time. I don't like being around that person because that person doesn't care about spiritual things. That person doesn't care about the finer things of life. They're not interested in having lots of children. They're not interested in family restaurants and family establishments. They're not interested in preventing alcohol and drugs being around public parks or the nice areas. I mean, there's all kinds of places I used to love or want to go because there's so much alcohol, so much perversion there. I don't even want to go to that place anymore. I don't even want to be around those people anymore. I don't want to do those things anymore. You know what? Alcohol just ruins society. It ruins everything. Go to Isaiah chapter 28. Go to Isaiah 28 in your Bible. There's a lot of perversion in this country. And you know where a lot of the perversion is coming? It's in the pulpits of America. Because they're drinking alcohol. You know, there is churches that literally serve alcohol in the church service. Called the Catholic Church, my friend. How do they interpret these verses? They don't. They ignore the second commandment, you know? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Here's a giant statue of Mary, you know? It's like, don't look at the wine. Hey, who wants to have wine, you know, with the servant? It's like everything they do is coming from a perverted mind. Why? Because they literally drink alcohol. I played in a golf tournament, and I never cared about the sponsors. It's usually beer sponsors or whatever. If you want to play golf, you know, every sporting event's sponsored by beer, okay? But you play in golf tournaments, and this one tournament was sponsored by the Catholic Church. I didn't realize that. I didn't really care. Anyways, it's all wicked, okay? But afterwards, they're having a celebration. And I'm like, okay, because they usually have a meal after a golf tournament, and, you know, it ranges. Sometimes it's, eh. I've had Outback Burger served, and that was a good one, all right? But this one was back at the Catholic Church. So we had to go back, and this is the only time I've ever been in a Catholic church. This is the first time I've ever been. I don't even know what it's like. And I literally walk in, and it's just a line of kegs all along the wall. And I'm like, this is a church? And it's literally filled with kegs of beer. And I was thinking, like, of course this is why it's so perverted here. Of course this is why there's so many crazy, weird things that happen in this kind of a church. You know, it's not just the Catholic Church. Look, this affects all kinds of churches. Non-denom churches, all kinds of other. I've seen Baptist churches have beer and hymns. What kind of nonsense? What kind of foolishness? And in fact, you get 10 Baptists in the past, all of them would have condemned alcohol. They would have said that I'm preaching too soft right now, probably. But 10 Baptists a day, probably only one of them would publicly condemn alcohol. And at best, they'll say, well, you shouldn't get drunk. Not the best. You know, oh, it's not the best. Ooh, don't scare me with that. Getting really drunk's a sin. Ooh. You know, that seems to really stop your congregation from getting drunk, buddy. You say, why do you preach so hard in this? Because I want you to never touch alcohol again. And I want you to feel like a complete idiot when you do. And I want you to feel like, you know what, if you get drunk, then you're not even welcome to come to this church because the Bible literally says that drunkards should be thrown out of the church. Welcome to the New Testament. Welcome to a Baptist church. Welcome to a fundamental Baptist church where we are here to serve God, not our own belly. Not to see how perverted we can get and how weird we can get and preach false doctrine. And you say, well, you're not going to build a church like that. Well, you know what? I don't want to build a beer church. I don't want to see how many beer cans I can stack up on the pulpit. No. Hey, you know what I want to do? I want to knock them all down. I want to shut these places down. I want to preach so hard that, you know what? No one wants to open a liquor store near me. Because it's wicked and these are perverts. The owners of this store are perverts. There, I said it. Go look them up and I'll publicly preach against them. They're perverts. Isaiah 28, verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there is no place clean. Hey, when we go to an establishment that only sells alcohol, what's it like there? It's the dirtiest, the most disgusting, filthy place imaginable. That's what it is. Everything's bolted to the ground. It's literally built for toddlers, grown toddlers, because they can't control themselves. Everything's bolted. It's all metal. It's just, you know, and when you walk in, the stench is so horrible. No one would ever want to be there if they're not drunk because you would realize how terrible it is and how horrible it smells and how weird it is and how dark it is. You know what they don't like to do? They don't like to drink in the middle of the daylight. You know, they like to go when it's dark outside and dark in the establishment. Why? Because they want to hide what they're doing. And you know what? Those that are drinking alcohol, they're erring in vision. That's pretty obvious. Wear the beer goggles. I remember in school. Fortunately, public school preaches harder than most churches today. In public school, they would have us put on literal beer goggles. And they would try to get you to walk. You can't walk. I mean, it was weird. I'm thinking like, I can do it. You know, I can walk. You put on the beer goggles, you're just like, argh. That's what it's like when you drink alcohol. You can't even walk. What kind of idiot? I mean, you learned how to walk when you were like a year old. Now you're regressing back to that? And look, not being able to walk is not that cool. It's not fun. You meet people that can't walk, they're not excited about it. They don't think that it's cool. Everybody that couldn't walk in the Bible is asking to be healed so they could walk. And they could walk correctly. Then they started leaping and jumping. Go to Jeremiah chapter 4. So in Isaiah, if you think of the timeline, it's talking about the children of Israel, how wicked they are. They're just full of alcohol, full of wine, stumbling in judgment. That's why the place got so bad and it finally needed to be destroyed. So what is America doing? Well, we're getting to that point. We're getting so filled with alcohol. And when a group of people is filled with alcohol, this is how the Bible describes them. Verse 22, Jeremiah 4, verse 22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. Sottish. Sottish or a sot is someone that is inebriated, is a drunkard, is stupid, is foolish. It says they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Notice it's saying there's an entire group of people. They have absolutely no idea how to do good. Is that the society you want to live in? That's what alcohol brings to society. And if you think about it, if someone were in a bar, what good is ever happening in a bar? Only evil. Only wickedness. Only perversion. It completely corrupts your mind. What good thing ever came from someone being drunk? And look, it's not like we have a shortage of examples. It's not like there was like a, well, no one's ever tried it. No. They've tried it. They've tried driving. They've tried riding on bikes. They've tried walking. They've tried talking. They've tried all of it. And guess what it always does? Something foolish. Something stupid. Something just completely vain and pointless. It doesn't help society whatsoever. Go to Jeremiah 23. Go to chapter 23. And you know what? The preachers are responsible for not preaching against this junk. In fact, often the reason why people or pastors will not preach against this is because they're drunks themselves. Or, you know, in best case scenario, their church is a bunch of drunkards and they just don't want to lose all their tithe money or something. And maybe they're just too much of a coward to actually get up and say that it's wicked the way that they should. And you know what? If you just preach right when you have 10 people, you'll preach right when you have 100 people or 200 people. Or if you just don't care about money at all, then you can just preach the Bible. And the love of money is the root of all evil. Because preachers are just so consumed with the love of money, with their 401k, with their building, they're just filled in their appetite of the lust of this world, they won't get up and rip on the Bible. They won't get up and say, hey, don't even look at the stuff. You bunch of drunks and idiots and fools and morons. I mean, people that are getting drunk are idiots. It used to be in this country, it was illegal to buy alcohol. Look where we've come. Oh, this preaching's hard. Look, it used to not even be legal. People would preach that if you drink alcohol, you'd go to hell. Now, obviously you won't because the Bible says salvation is, you know, a gift by grace. But think about that extreme to where we're at now, where it's literally preachers are getting up and saying, drink alcohol, encouraging congregations. Having it as part of the services, having it as their communion. Jeremiah 23, look at verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord. They use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. You know what? It's not just one thing to lie. It's another thing to use lightness too. What's lightness? Oh, drinking's, you know, getting drunk's a sin. It's not the best. That's being light. Why don't you actually see what the Bible really says on this issue? Why don't you bring up all the verses? Why don't you bring up the hardest verses? No, they use lightness. They tiptoe around issues. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But here's the thing. Why would you be mad at me for preaching anything that this book says? Why did you even show up this morning? Why do you even want to hear what I have to say? Why would you think that I would get up and say anything different than the Bible? Anything different than God would want me to say? And you say, well, this isn't fun. Well, you know what? A lot of the Bible's not fun. I mean, I enjoy it, but I like reading the Bible, but some parts of the Bible are hard to read. It's just because you're just like, wow, that's rough. You know what? It's true. The Bible is true, and everything I've said today can not only be just shown in the Bible, it's shown in reality. You see it. I don't even have to convince you today of the effects of alcohol. He says in verse 33, and when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God and the Lord of hosts, our God. Notice they pervert the words of God. Now, let me just explain something real quick. What does he mean by the burden of the Lord, whatever? Essentially, when someone gets up and they preach like, don't drink alcohol, and drinking alcohol is foolish, and if you're a drunkard, you'll get thrown out of church, they'll be like, oh man, serving God's such a burden. I can't do all this fun stuff like snort cocaine and drink poison. And I can't, you know, force other people to drink poison and injure themselves with me. Then I'll get church disciplined. Oh, man, it's such a burden. Sorry, I was wording it more in plain language. They're like, oh, I can't go and have parties and have fun and live my life and experience stuff. You know, experience church, man. Cool, crisp, clean, refreshing. I can't refresh my gullet, you know, with some cool beverage. Man, I just want to have a bud with the boys, man. That's what they'll say. It's such a burden. No, he's saying, look, you think that serving me is a burden? Just wait. Just wait until you become addicted to heroin. Then you'll never say that serving God's a burden anymore. You'll know what a real burden is. You'll know what real burden is whenever the husband comes home and beats his wife up and beats the children up and then goes to jail for being a complete loser, for being a complete moron, and then there's going to be a guy in jail that's going to beat you up. Because guess what? I don't care how big you are, there's someone bigger in prison. I don't care how tough you are, there's someone tougher in prison. And no matter what, hell's even worse. And you know what? When you start beating up on people, God will start beating up on you. You start force-feeding children things, God might start force-feeding you things. You force-feed children alcohol, God will force-feed you cocaine and heroin and whatever nonsense you don't want, and you'll end up hating yourself and destroying yourself. Look, you want to become a pervert? Drink alcohol. And be like Todd Wagner. Who's Todd Wagner? The pastor of Watermark Community Church. Now, fortunately, he recently had to resign because of pride. I don't know. I'm sure he's prideful. But he had this stupid video. I remember finding a video of his talking about alcohol. And he used 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go there for a second. 1 Timothy chapter 4. These perverts. What? How about all the verses that we looked at? He said, you know, it's like, hey, I want to know if Christians should drink alcohol or not. Well, let me answer that real quick. 1 Timothy 4. And I'm thinking like, what in the world? What is he talking about? Now, of course, he's not King James only, and I'll get to that in a second. But look at your Bible where it says in verse number 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Now, here's the thing. In the modern version, it just says foods, and then he takes the word food and turns it into alcohol. And then he even says in verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So he says, as long as you pray for it, As long as you thank God for your beer and your alcohol, then it's sanctified. Drink up, buddy. What kind of a pervert thinks that? You have to be drunk while you preach this. What kind of a moron is going to literally... I mean, have you ever been to a bar and seen the guys get served at the table and they're like, hey, wait a minute. I just want to bless this cold brew real quick. I've never even seen it. Even if you believe that doctrine for a second, I've never seen a person pray for their beer ever. And I'm not saying start now. Just like you shouldn't pray for the snake that's about to bite you. Please bless this venom to my body. Please allow it to, you know, don't do that to bleach. Don't do that to arsenic. Don't do that to gasoline. Look, that's the dumbest thing ever. Hey, I'm going to pray that over my bacon burger. You know it. Hey, I'm going to pray that over, you know, pork and whatever. You know what? I'm not going to pray that over literal poison. You're tempting God at that point. We're not supposed to drink poison on purpose and expect God to give us a blessing out of it. That's just nonsense. That's foolish. You have to be drunk to think that. This is also quotes from this really great video of Todd Wagner. He said that you could even... He said, I would say, yes, there is a way to use heroin sanctified with the word of God and prayer. So not only alcohol, heroin. He said, well, have you ever had painkillers and surgery? You've basically used it in moderation under the administration of a doctor. So he thinks that whenever you go to get surgery, they're literally prescribing heroin, literally. And that you should pray for your heroin. What kind of message are you sending the congregation when you say, hey, any of you heroin addicts out there, pray before you do it, okay? Talk about lightness. I mean, what kind of nonsense? What kind of, look, who would think that this is intelligent? Someone that uses alcohol becomes a pervert, and they start thinking and dreaming up these weird things. Half a million Americans are addicted to heroin. And while over 2 million are addicted to painkillers, it says overdose deaths have quadrupled since 1999. Yeah, maybe because they're listening to this stupid preaching. How about say, even if you believe this, even if you just believe, I believe that opioids and heroin are 100% the exact same thing, okay? Then why wouldn't you say avoid both? Why is that not the doctrine? Why is the doctrine then, well, let's pray over it then? I mean, could you imagine someone about to snort cocaine and say, let's pray real quick? Pray for what? I mean, you better pray to get saved because you might snort that cocaine and go straight to hell if you're not saved already. I mean, this is the kind of preaching coming from the biggest churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Pray for your heroin. Not only that, he said some forms of cocaine also help you. So pray for your heroin, cocaine, and alcohol. And then the guy that's asking the question says, I think a question that's on everybody's mind is, do you drink alcohol? And he says, yeah, I can. He says, if I need to show somebody that alcohol is not what separates you from Jesus, give me a beer and I'll drink it right now. I have no problem with that. He's literally bragging about the fact that he would drink a beer right now, just in the interview, just right on YouTube for the whole world to see, just to prove how big a man he is. How great a pastor he is, how close he is to Jesus. Look, that is foolishness and nonsense. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Why would I ever do that? I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Here's other things he said. Here's what he said about the King James Bible, which he needs to get a King James Bible. Because he added another video about, is the King James the most accurate? Answer is, it's not only the most accurate, it's the truth. He said, since 1611, there's been over 100,000 adaptations of the King James Version. And there's still some that need to be made. He was saying that it was like translated by monks, Catholic monks, and just like every fact he had about the King James Bible was so false, so wrong. Hundreds of thousands of adaptations? Here, let me explain to you what the adaptations were. The word music in your Bible had a K at the end. Woo! Adaptation. The word color had a U in it in the other version. Here's another one. They changed the font type of the Bible. Oh, I mean, if you go from Times New Roman to Arial, it's a completely new Bible. Now, my wife would agree with that statement, okay? She likes Arial. Arial Narrow, all right? That's not hundreds of thousands of adaptations, my friend. That's nonsense. We literally have a 1611 replica. You go show me the hundreds of thousands of adaptations. It's going to be the same words, my friend, as this that I hold in my hand. What kind of a liar? What kind of a perverted judgment? Oh, it's from the guy getting drunk. How about Perry Noble? Perry Noble was a pastor of New Spring Church. I think it was in North Carolina. It was a Southern Baptist church. He got thrown out of his own church for being a drunk in 2016. Now, if you get thrown out of a non-denom church for being drunk, you're a real big drunk. I mean, because they're saying you can pray for your heroin, okay? I mean, that guy has got to have a serious problem. 2017, he gets divorced. And then he starts another church called Second Chance Church. And he got remarried in 2021. And then he preaches cool sermons like this, unqualified. Yep, certainly are. Where's this coming from? From the perverts behind the pulpit that are literally drinking and getting drunk. Go, if you would, to Proverbs, or go to Habakkuk 2. I already read for you in Proverbs 23. It says, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Is it any just coincidence that Perry Noble just happens to get divorced too? I'm sure that he wasn't interested in other women. Oh, wait, he got remarried. And look, alcohol causes so much adultery and fornication. In fact, here's some research. 80% of people's first carnal experience is under the influence of alcohol. 80% of virginity is lost due to alcohol. You know what it should be? 100% due to marriage. 80% due to alcohol. 40% of men, I don't even know how they've got this stat. It's scary. But it says 40% of men believe it is acceptable to force a woman who is drunk. I would think it'd be zero. Why would anybody think that's okay? Because you become a pervert when you're drunk. 40% of men think there's no problem. 50% of unplanned pregnancies occur when one or both persons are drinking alcohol. 2/3 of unplanned pregnancies, the woman was intoxicated. 60% of STDs are transmitted when one of the partners are drunk. That sounds like fun. Habakkuk 2, look at verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Well, that sounds familiar. Men forcing women to drink so they can do what? Perverted things with them. Called college. Why do you think that young men just want to drink so much in college so that they can force women to do things they would never do when sober? It says verse 16, thou art filled with shame for glory, drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. You know, and it used to be you wouldn't even have to preach this, but if you notice the pronoun usage in verse 15, woe unto him, that's a dude, giving his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, that's another dude. And you know what? In America, this is a reality where this is the most disgusting, perverted freaks will literally force alcohol on, men will force alcohol on other men so they can do perverted things to them. It's in the Bible. What Ham did unto his father. Literally. I didn't write the Bible. And you know what? It happens all the time. There's a famous actor that was doing this kind of stuff to everyone. What is that guy's name? Kevin Spacey. Thank you. Kevin Spacey was literally at bars and just other guys would be at the bar and it's cool to celebrities. They just want to go talk to him. Well, he would force feed them all kinds of alcohol and then touch them inappropriately and do all kinds of weird stuff. And these guys were you know, straight as an arrow. But they're just getting molested and taken advantage of. You know, kids are being taken advantage of on a regular basis due to alcohol. You should have nothing to do with alcohol. It makes no sense. Go, if you would, to Titus. Go to Proverbs 20 and Titus 2. That's the last two places I'll return. This is uncomfortable. Good. I want you to never want to touch the stuff. I want you to get as far away from it as possible. I want you to help educate people on why they shouldn't drink. 1 in 20, or about 5% of women, report to being forced in their life. That's just the ones that report it. 72% of the victims experienced it while they were intoxicated. So almost 75% of all the reasons why women get taken advantage of is because they were drunk when it happened. Women who are under 21 were sorority houses, were illicit drugs, drank heavily in high school. That's where they usually are the highest cases. It says young girls that go to college, 20 to 25% of them will have at least one attempt by someone to force them. I mean, that's a pretty cool roll of the dice. Now you want little Susie to go to college so that she has almost a quarter chance to literally be with an attacker? And 33% of the perpetrators, the people that are doing these acts, are intoxicated while doing it. Drug and alcohol addiction. Why should you avoid this? Number one, pain. Number two, you're going to become a pervert in all manner of life. Your judgment, your thinking, your brain, and the bedroom, all kinds of weird junk. Here's the third point, because you become powerless. And Proverbs 23 says, yeah, I will seek it again. Powerless meaning he doesn't even have control over himself. You know, when the mother was giving instruction unto Lemuel, she's saying, give not thy strength unto women, right? Or to what? Strong drink. You don't want to give your power over to someone else and allow someone else to rule your life. Today, some people's lives are being run by Jack Daniels. You know, they want to talk about, oh, the New World Order is controlling us. How about Jack Daniels? How about Budweiser? How about Coors? How about heroin? Literally, the puppet master controlling all kinds of people. Millions and millions of people are literal slaves to the bottle. Literal slaves to drugs and alcohol today. And this is what they love to say. I could quit at any time. No, you can't. You don't drink every day and can quit whenever you want. They don't want to admit that they become a powerless, weak person who has been crippled by drugs and alcohol. They couldn't stop if they wanted. That's why there's so many people that try and try and they struggle. And look, I'm not down on someone that's struggling because you know what? It's hard. It's real. That's why it's called addiction. Because it was easy, everybody just give it up. It's a literal battle. That's why you don't even want to go down that road, so you don't have that fight. You don't have that struggle. And if you say, well, I failed. Well, succeed the next day. A just man falls seven times and rises up again. But what I'm telling you is you need to avoid the stuff because you become literally powerless whenever you give yourself unto it. Proverbs 20, look at verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Todd Wagner is not wise. Perry Noble is not wise. The Catholic priest serving alcohol in his services is not wise today. And people who drink alcohol are stupid. There, I said it. If you drink alcohol, you're stupid. You're a fool. You're a moron. It's wickedness. It's not right. And if you drink regularly, you're a drunkard, you will be church disciplined if I find out about it. Now, it's a sin that, you know, can be private at times. People can kind of try to hide and disguise it. But I'm telling you, you know, it's not something to mess with. And you say, well, I don't know if it's a sin to drink alcohol. Go to Titus chapter 2. You know what the sin is? A transgression of the law. Okay? So if you have any commandment and you violate that commandment, that's a sin. The Bible said not even to look at the stuff. There's one example of why it's a sin. Here's a really good reason why it's a sin. Because the Bible says that you're supposed to be sober. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. So the Bible wants older men to be sober. What does the dictionary definition say of sober? Abstaining from drinking alcohol or taking intoxicating drugs. Refraining from the use of addictive substances. It's marked by temperance, moderation, or seriousness. Even if you go to an older definition, here's the Webster's 1828. temperate in the use of spirituous liquors, habitually temperate as a sober man. Live a sober, righteous, and godly life, not intoxicated or overpowered by spirituous liquors, not drunken. The sot may at times be sober. So it's saying you're not drinking at all. And no one that's a drinker, no one that's actually been using drugs, if they said sober, means like, well, I use it a little bit. Sober means they've abstained, means that they're not doing it, means they completely refrain from it. So if you ever take the substance, you know what sin you've committed? The sin of not being sober. Now, if you have an NLT and you're drunk with Todd Wagner, you know what words removed from your new Luciferian translation? Sober. Yeah, of course, if you get one of these modern perverted Bibles, they remove the word sober from all these different places. They change all the texts on alcohol. They twist the definitions of these words, and they try to excuse drinking alcohol, and they try to make it seem like they're mighty to drink strong wine. But you know what? The Bible is clear that you should be sober. Look what it says in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. So the aged women are supposed to teach the young women to be sober. So right now you have old men, old women, young women. How about verse 6? Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. What else is there? The Bible says very clearly that everyone is supposed to be sober. And notice in verse 6, sober-minded. Serious. Now, someone drinking alcohol is not taking life seriously. You're not being serious when you're under the use of drugs or some kind of substance. But if, I don't want you to go anywhere else. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You literally have someone walking around wanting to kill you every second of your life. It's called the devil. And he would love nothing more than to catch you at your weakest moment. And you know what most people's weakest moment is when they're drunk. When they're on drugs or alcohol. That's why there's so much death and destruction and evil from all these drugs and these substances. And you know what? We need hard preaching against this. And it shouldn't matter if it offends people. Because you know what? I'd rather offend people and they leave than to never hear it. I'd rather people get mad at me and take one less beer in their life than to just love you drinking booze. Love you all the way to the hospital. Love you all the way drinking all that poison down your gullet or whatever. No, we need to preach what the Bible says, and we need to be sober. Because the devil didn't scale back in 2021 or 2022. I mean, the devil's coming full force for us, and it's only going to get worse. We need to be sober every moment of our lives and enjoy every moment of our lives. You know, why would I want to waste all the time that God gave me? When you drink alcohol, you forget what even happened. You black out or you don't even know what happened. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Because you just hate life so much? You know, I don't hate life. I have a lot of great things. I have 5 children to live for. I have a wife to live for. I have a great church of people that love the Bible and love the Word of God to live for. I have lost souls that need someone to open up their mouth for the dumb. We have so much to live for, so much purpose. Look, there's family members that you know that are probably not even saved. You need to open up your mouth and preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to drag them into church. You need to drag them into holiness. You need to drag them into righteousness. And you know what? It's not enough for just the pastor to be bold. We need a whole congregation of people to be bold and to stand against the sins of this world today and say, I'm unashamed. I don't drink poison. Amen. I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink liquor. Instead of it just being a Mormon doctrine. You know, I went to work and it was like, hey, I don't drink alcohol. Oh, are you Mormon? No, I'm Baptist. Amen. Hey, I'm knocking on the door. Oh, are you Mormon? No, I'm Baptist. Right. It's time for Baptists to stand up for the Word of God and to actually exhibit holiness, not these fake Mormon devil-worshipping freaks. Right. Why can't we have some fundamental Baptists stand up? And they say, oh, you don't drink. Oh, are you a fundamental Baptist? Oh, there's someone knocking on the door. It must be Steadfast. You know that's right. Hey, look at these people who are sober and know how to have a good time, and they're not getting drunk while doing it. They can actually sing really loud, and they don't have to get drunk to sing. You know, most adults are intimidated to sing. They're afraid to sing. You know what? You come into the church, and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you got boldness to sing loud the praises of God. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for giving us the Bible to give us all this wisdom and knowledge. I pray that we wouldn't look for cheap substitutes of joy and fun in this world like alcohol and drugs. We'd realize the fake and the fraud that they are. I pray that you would just help fill everyone with your Holy Spirit so they wouldn't desire the evil, wicked spirit, the poison that's out there today. And I pray that you would just protect all the children in this room, that their parents and even themselves, that when they're tempted or put in bad situations, they'll just remove themselves, they'll avoid all the evils of this world, and that you would just protect them from the dangers of drug and alcohol addiction. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.